Anything you missed from today's Big Breakfast is in the Catch Up podcast on the Listener app. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Pick up a fragrance for a loved one this Christmas from Chemist Warehouse, the real house of fragrance.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
Oh, so good to have you back on the show, Margo.
Oh, after it's great to be
all important 13th wedding anniversary.
Thank you. Thank you. It was lovely.
It's the Big Breakfast Catch Up podcast.
I tell you what, we should be dropping a few more F bombs and C bombs into this podcast. Did you see the one Brandon Smith did with that bloke on the?
You can do anything on a podcast. It seems you can say. Jamie's going to beep that out, of course. Yeah, Jamie.
Well, that took us all by surprise. That might be the end of this.
Just proving the point, Marto, that you can say whatever you want on a podcast. Jamie, and someone will just beep it out for you in the edit.
Yeah. I'll just put a note down. Can you remember to put a beep there?
Can you also ring me tonight just in case? I'll go and recheck it. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, here's a way to recheck it, Ken.
You're making it hard for me now.
I think we did that once, remember? We just said the C word like 10 times.
And did it ever get blanked out? Well, no, he told us, so it must have been okay.
Hey, by the way, there's two answers if you want to win $10,000 on the show on Wednesday. First responder at 7:25. You want to give those? Just the proper words, don't have to swear.
The answer to the first word will be oil, and the answer to the second word will be?
Bridge. We're going to say midnight, you're going to say oil, then we're going to say gateway, and then you're going to say bridge. Don't stuff it up like this morning when we gave away the word, which was conditioning, and we said air, and he said what?
Oh, horn. Air horn.
It's not air horn. We gave you the answer, air conditioner.
But then he got to the end and realised he hadn't heard the...
So we're going to give you the first two answers to first responder, oil and bridge. Bridge,
7:25. Here's the catch-up podcast on Triple M.
Oh, we better not forget about the royal family. They are our bosses, of course. Did you see Prince Charles?
Prince Charles has just touched down in Barbados just hours before the country officially removes his mother, Queen Elizabeth, as head of state.
Well, they're telling...
They've said we don't want to be a part of the monarchy anymore.
Who we get over here to witness this? I'll get the son. This is what happened to him in Hong Kong. Does everyone remember when they handed over power to Hong Kong back from Britain back to China, okay? They sent Prince Charles. It was pissing down rain. He had to go, oh, it's been a pleasure to be here and, They're doing the same thing to him in Barbados. So if he's scheduled to come to Australia...
Oh, you know something's up.
We're getting a president soon around that time. Saw an article, just to continue on the royal theme, saw an article on the Queen yesterday. You know,
How's she doing, old Queenie?
She seems to be all
right. She back out making appearances again?
You cannot kill that woman. It's brilliant.
She's incredible, isn't she?
She is incredible. And somebody said, there's obviously a lot of stories going around about her, but the latest one was she's got a phone, okay? Like she doesn't...
like a mobile phone?
She has got a phone,
Is it the latest iPhone 13 or is she an Android kind of gal?
It'd be a Bond-type phone. Because MI6, you know, their secret agent, they've encrypted it so no one can... Yeah, sorry.
Fair enough.
Fred
can't just hand it out.
Fred at Worcestershire can't give the Queen a bell and go, listen, I don't know what you're up to.
Who calls the Queen?
Now, thank you. A lot of people apparently have her number, but she will only answer... Two numbers.
Oh, she's a screener. She's like, oh, Prince Andrew's calling again. What's he done now? Ignore.
He's not one of them. Have a guess who the two people are. You will never.
Well, you mentioned Bond, maybe 007. Hello, 007. Now, remember Diana?
There's this girl called Megan. All right. Let's say. You ring the Queen. Come on, keep
guessing. She's not answering Megan's calls for sure. Harry and Megan, they're on the blacklist. They're not getting a Christmas card this year.
No, she's got four. How many kids did she have? Four kids?
What about Camilla? Will she answer a call? Call from Camilla, you reckon?
Negative to Camilla.
Negative to Camilla. She's still around. He's still with
her. So what are the other ones? Andrew?
Charles?
Which one's the one who's... Charles?
Prince Charles. What about Edward?
No.
And her sister?
You hit the first one.
Surely.
Princess Anne. Her daughter.
Oh, her daughter.
That is one of the only two people the Queen will go, oh, hello, it's my daughter. Because she obviously hates her son because they're all...
lemons.
Prince Charles. She's met him. Talks to plants. Prince Edward, is he the theatre one?
Yeah.
And Prince Andrew is the maid of Epstein.
What about the Prime Minister of England? Would she take calls from him, Boris?
She can't cop. What do you call him? The unmade
the
bed.
The unmade bed.
She can't cop him. The only other person... I'll put you out of your misery. The only other person... No, it's not the corgi breeder. She does not. Yeah. The only other person she answers the phone to is a bloke called John Warren. Johnny Warren.
Who's Johnny Warren?
He looks after her race horses.
Oh,
he is.
No. So she goes, the racehorse trainer, of course. She's got a remiss of me.
Think of her Ladbrokes again. She's always thinking gambling. That is the only two people, her daughter and your racehorse manager. This is
incredible.
What a quaint.
It's the Big Breakfast. This is Brisbane's Triple M.
Safe to say, Marto, I don't think I need to eat for the next week because after indulging over the weekend in our holiday stay for our wedding anniversary, it was all inclusive. So meals were included in our accommodation. And I have to admit, it was pretty incredible. That restaurant, Jellyfish, it was the head chef, executive chef from there. He's been flown up
to
this little island and he is preparing three-course meals and just throwing out the most incredible foods. But can I say, sometimes the most simple things are the best because they were bringing fresh baked bread from this mad baker over at South Mission. And
so Mission Beach up north.
Mission Beach up north in North Queensland.
Well, tell everyone, you're at Bedarra Island. We had our honeymoon there. It's a really special place that not many people
Corey
know
and I
about.
Celebrated 13 years married over the weekend, and I've been with him 18 years, which is half of my life with him and half without him. And anyway, we celebrated our wedding anniversary, and it was really lovely. Just the two of us, kids.
What's the best half? The first half or the second half?
Well, the first 18 years, you know, you're learning and developing. There was a bit of fun in between just before I met him. But it's been a hell of a ride, Marto, let's just say that. But anyway, they rolled out this bread. But on the side was fancy butter. And she said it was a Vegemite and butter whipped concoction.
Hold on.
Are you saying
they mixed it in before they presented it at the table?
Yes, Marto. They said it's a Vegemite butter. And I was like, oh, that sounds nice. So it's Vegemite butter. And she said it's literally just butter and Vegemite whipped together. And then they curl it so it looks really fancy on the side of the plate.
So no one has to dip the veggie knife into the butter and make it black and cream.
That's exactly right, Marto.
They've done it for you.
But just in case you were missing the Vegemite whipped butter from the island, you just go home to the butter dish where it is really nice mix of Vegemite and butter.
The kids have tried to make sandwiches and they've done it.
Corey said, we've got that at home, remember?
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Just heard in the news there, Marto, not sure if you were listening to David Shiraz letting us know that there are delays again to our international borders being open due to the new COVID variant that's found its way into Australia.
Omicron.
Yeah, no more international flights as of December 1. We were supposed to be allowed to get out and enjoy our freedoms again. However, that's been put on hold for another couple of weeks until the National Cabinet. There will be no international flights out of Australia at this stage.
Oh, I was supposed to go to Johannesburg. Can I go anymore?
You can't go anymore, Marto. Where you can go is still within Queensland.
Yeah, of course.
And that's where I went over the weekend, up to Cairns, beautiful North Queensland, for a couple of days. And I flew on a plane, which I haven't done in a little while. It's been about 2 years since
I
flew.
Isn't it weird?
The weird
going
old
to the airport.
Concept, going to the airport again because there's nobody there. No one's going anywhere or doing anything, and you've got to wear the face masks, and it's all very stringent, the rules, the restrictions. You've got to weigh your bag in, and they're very, very routine about what's happened. It's controlling. But delays, I'll tell you about delays. We got delayed both ways, to Cairns and return, because it seems a few people forgot how to fly whilst we've been grounded down here.
I thought
here.
It would have been quick because there's not many flights.
No, well, it wasn't, Marto, because people don't like to sit in their seats that is assigned to them. And when they do the head count before they take off and you're not sitting in your seat, they then assume that you're not on the plane. And so they call for you and then they call for you.
Hold on, you haven't explained. What do you mean?
So when you get on your flight, you get your boarding pass and it says, seat 15D, right? So you walk up and you sit down in 15D
because that's the
seat.
Yeah,
pretty
that's
easy concept.
How it works.
Except someone decided they wanted to sit in 5E instead.
Was there no one else
rows,
in that row?
A few rows forward, but didn't let anybody know. And of course, then the Jetstar people or the Virgin people or the Qantas people or whoever are doing their job, they then walk
of those.
Up and down the aisles going, hello, who is the person that's supposed to be sitting in 15D?
Did they say his name, though?
No. Well, they called out to him a couple of times and then he went, oh, that's me. Sorry, I'm sitting in the wrong seat.
Did he have
seat.
Headphones on?
No, no excuses. Can just I, sitting in the wrong check, seat. Knew he was doing the wrong thing.
Who knows their air travel? I think it's because they balance. They've got to balance the plane out. So to take off and to land, they want you to sit in your seat. You can move around afterwards.
Well, also they go, so-and-so's checked in. He's not sitting in his seat. Where is he? Is he on the plane? Is he not? Yeah. Is
he's
still sitting in the waiting
bag.
Lounge? Is he still sitting at the having his coffee at the waiting lounge? No. So we got delayed. Oh. Then we got delayed on the way home, Marto, because, again, someone not sitting in their correct seat, of course. And, of course, the people doing their job correctly wanted to make sure, oh, sorry, didn't let you know that's my brother. He's not boarding. Okay, well, he's checked in. Why is he not boarding? He said, well, that's not my responsibility to tell you. And they're like, well, it's your brother and he's not here.
What, he just decided he pulled out?
Decided he didn't want to get on because maybe he was on the first plane that we boarded. Which we then had to disembark and then go to a new gate because there was something wrong with the plane and then had to reboard while they took all of the luggage off the other plane to put it back onto this plane. So anyway, it's safe to say I didn't miss flying. Everyone's like, oh, I want to go somewhere. No, you don't. Stay home.
Get a good car and
it's
drive.
It's much easier to stay at home. But, Marto, the thing was is...
So, can I just ask? It doesn't seem like it's the airlines, not all of their problem.
No, it's not the airlines' fault.
It's the
They're
idiots
just doing
flying.
Their job. It's the idiots flying. It's also the idiot who decided she wanted to get up and go to the bathroom while the seatbelt sign was still on and she had to then be sat down by the air hostess. Mm. Then she proceeded to push her way through after everybody stood up to get off the plane. Oh. She proceeded to bombard her way from the back of the plane to the front of the plane saying that she needed to go to the toilet and she was busting to do a wee. Whilst the other man, it was standing in the aisle, who didn't want to let her through whilst he held his colostomy bag outside of his shirt. God. Said, you're not getting through. You just want to get to the front of the line. And she said, I'll wee on you or I'll wee on the aisle. And then proceeded to tell everybody it was that time of the month that it wouldn't be pleasant if she did. And I was like, just let her through. Just let her through. Get her off the plane.
Let me off.
Let me off the plane.
Can we
the guy behind me decided to vape and then another guy decided.
What are you doing? He's had a vape.
Oh, I was You're making it up now. I am never flying anywhere again.
When's
I'm staying
Bali
in Brisbane.
When's
anywhere
Bali
I can
open
drive
again?
To. Anywhere I can drive to is where you'll find me because I am not flying again. People have forgotten their manners, their plane etiquette. 13353. When did you experience some uncouth plane etiquette? Because,
as in, have you ever seen anyone clip their toenails next to you?
I think for a long time we became so conditioned to people's bad behaviour and bad habits.
We haven't seen it.
That we haven't seen it for so long and now it's presenting itself again. I'm not sure how many people have flown recently. I can't imagine many. But 13353, what sort of animalistic behaviour have you seen on a plane?
We've got hams, we've got tickets to the cricket, we've got all sorts of stuff to give away to our favourite callers. 13353.
A lot of personal grooming goes on.
Because
they're going on holidays,
plane.
Got to look their
Vaping
best.
Vaping on a plane, nobody smokes here anymore. Apparently they vape now. People haven't flown for ages, they don't know how to behave. Liam from Carina, good morning.
Morning guys, how are you?
Yeah, good. Have you had not a very good experience when flying? What happened?
Yeah, so I was heading from New Zealand back to Australia with the family, and while we were over there, I'd bought a little laser pointer keychain, and her mum being the only one with a set of keys, I thought I'd just, hook it onto her keys for safekeeping. Well, she decided she was a little bit bored on the airplane and had a bit of a fiddle with this laser pointer and was pointing it around the cabin, and I was sitting a few seats over with a few strangers between us, and she's giving me little red dots all over the face and the back of the head and pointing at
Mom.
I was like, it's bad enough pointing a laser at a plane from the ground, let alone being on a plane in the middle of the sky.
Was it an air marshal situation, Liam?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, how bad did it become, Liam?
Well, we got reported to, and then there was a lady. I saw her. She was waiting for us when we left the plane. It would have been the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And, she looked like she was from Men in Black, just dressed up in a suit, a clipboard. She was staring straight at us. Oh, we're in trouble here. as soon as we got close enough, she beelined straight for us and riddled us with a bunch of questions and said, have you got any concealed weapons or laser pointers you'd like to declare before this goes any further? And Mum goes, "Oh no, no, we're right. We've just come back from holiday."
Oh, and I was like,
"You didn't know what she had,
Mum."
I was like, "Mum, I want to rethink that a little bit." She goes, "Oh well, I've got this thing, but I don't know what it does." "All right, ma'am, you'll have to come with me. We've got some further questions." And then she turns around and goes, "Oh, it's not mine. It's his."
Thanks a lot, Mum.
Oh, nice, Liam.
Triple M.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
I just heard Dobbo talking about Warnie helping the Australian selectors pick the team, suggesting Queenslander Mitch Swepson might be in there ahead of Gary Lyons. That was interesting. More interesting to me was Warnie last night. He'd come out, and I know your husband Corey does a lot of super coach for rugby league, and there's some embarrassing moments and stuff, isn't there?
I think the green undies on the bus and was the roller probably up skates, there. A banana outfit. There's been a few interesting ones.
Okay. And you get paid to embarrass yourself in the media occasionally, and that's what Warnie was doing. Yesterday, he had to front up at a Super Coach Day for Super Coach Cricket.
Right,
of course, they're wonderful. They've sent me a little cricket bat, trying to brine me, so I say nice things.
What was he wearing?
He was wearing a lime green tracksuit, like full tracksuit. When you're 52, it's probably you don't wear, you know, the tracksuit top
anymore.
And bottom at the same time.
Matching.
You sure I just didn't wear it because it's Warnie?
Yeah. Well, for attention, etc. And Margot made a comment about the front bit
the
downstairs,
front
and it may have been enhanced. Anyway, that's not what I really want to talk about because here comes Warnie. It's cricket time. It's summer, and then I thought, geez, Warnie's tougher than I thought.
I just turned the handle pass a bit too sharp. They locked up and I slid along, landed on my hip, and it's a 300-kilo bike landed on my ankle. So I'm a bit battered and bruised and banged up.
He turned up
on a
at
motorbike.
This day.
Yeah.
No, he'd had an accident on the Sunday arvo. He turned up to do this coaching session yesterday morning. And I go, that's incredible. Warnie's not a hard man as far as I'm concerned, but he's actually come off the motorbike, injured himself, what he's self-described as some serious injuries.
Yes.
And quite simply, can I just tell you, Warnie got out of bed for money. Let's face facts. Warnie, this is about 8 or 10 years ago. It cost $50,000 to have a round of golf with Warnie. If you ring up Warnie's manager, can we have 50 grand, okay?
Didn't we recently just hear it was like $100,000 for someone to get
$110,000 for Warnie to bowl an over at your little fancy day. Yes, so yesterday morning, turning up to a super coach, I'll let you put two and two together.
Yeah,
there was a
lot
of money involved. And I go, maybe he's not so tough. Maybe he just loves money, which he does. But then on the other hand, then I'd read a bit more. He's on a learner's license. At the age of 52, when you're on a learner's motorbike...
Embarrassing.
Yes, I think so. That and the green tracksuit. It's going to be a long summer.
This
gonna
is
be a long summer.
Triple M, it's the Big Breakfast. Marto's Thought on Sport. 7:25, we play a game here at the Big Breakfast called First Responder. It's worth $10,000 and you need 5 answers. We're going to give you 2 of them because we want to give it away. We will give it away this week.
Well, we already gave you 2 answers. Are we doing them again?
Yeah,
we're giving
just
them again.
Repeat them. Yeah,
it's oil was one of them.
Will the answer question 1 and the answer to question 2 will be?
Bridge.
Oil and bridge.
Are the 2 answers you need out of 5 tomorrow. All you got to do is come up with the other 3.
That's $200 already. If you get the other 3, you got 10 grand.
$725 tomorrow.
Hey, this might be one of your mates ringing. Big accident on California Creek Road at Cornubia heading northbound. Do you know Trish?
Oh, Trish from Cornubia. Thank you.
Probably.
California Creek Road, be careful.
Listen, just to wrap up the show, just talking about your old mate, that Tom Tate, you know, the mayor of the Gold Coast.
Yeah?
And we haven't spoken anything about Omicron on the show today, have we? Because I thought I'd wait until now because he is an absolute expert on it. Like technical Tom, I'd like to call him. He is all over it. He may as well be our chief health officer. Listen to him describing.
Omicron, don't know much about it. Sound a bit like a camera. It will continue to migrate. COVID-19, it'll end up being COVID-25, 26, whatever it is.
Did he say continue to migrate?
Yes, I did.
I think he meant mutate, didn't he?
That's right, of course.
Omicron, I don't know what it is, but it'll continue to migrate. It's come from South Africa.
The Omicron 500. Get your photos for Christmas.
Love it. Tasty Fresh Lunch Van is out again tomorrow with the Big Breakfast. Shout and free lunch at your workplace, tastyfresh.com.au. As always, if you'd like a visit, if you want something for free, if you want to shout your workmates, you can register at triplem.com.au. It's 7:13.
Trevor Long. Trev, we've got you in to talk to you about the bid to stop online trolling. The federal government announced that legislation that's going to be put before Parliament next year to try to make people, well, the anonymous hackers and trolls out there, to make them accountable. What do you reckon?
I think this is brilliant. Now, let me be clear. This is not the end to anonymous accounts on the internet. You can still have an anonymous account so that you can follow people without them really knowing, leave comments without them knowing who it is. But if you step over the line, that is, you know, fairness and reasonability of the law, that is, you defame someone, you know, there's some sort of allegation, then you can't be anonymous. And that's what the government's saying. So they're saying to the social media companies, if someone says something, it's your responsibility as a company to tell us who that is, or you're liable. So today, and this is crazy to think, that the High Court ruled that even a small business on Facebook, if someone comments on a post they make on Facebook and it's defamatory, it's the responsibility of the small business.
Oh.
That's just not fair.
So they're saying, for example, let's use us. So Triple M have a Facebook page. If somebody makes a comment on there that's defamatory about somebody else, we here at Triple M are responsible, not Facebook.
Correct. You're the publisher, not Facebook, even though Facebook is the, you know, underlying platform that it's all being published on. And that was a High Court ruling. It has set the media, a cat amongst the pigeons. But this government decision essentially overrides that and will call for the Facebooks and Twitters and Instagrams of the world to be responsible. So they will be required to provide the details of a user. And if they can't, then it's them that's responsible. So, you know, this is a big win for everyday businesses, everyday consumers, and the media. And it's an important step for social media companies to realize they have to operate under the laws of the real world. They can't create their own laws in the online world.
Trev, could I just check? Remember, there's been a couple of occasions where ScoMo said, no, we'll make them pay for their content. That's the social media giants. Did that ever happen properly? Yeah. That did happen?
Yeah, I mean, it did. You've got to say Australia won the battle against the social media giants, and you know a lot of money's now flowing the way of the media and different things in terms of that battle. I'm sure they're a bit annoyed that they kind of lost that battle and now have to fight another one against the government. But
So this isn't just a distractor. ScoMo's got an election coming up because we've only got 10 sitting days in Parliament next year. Are they really keen, or is this just to say, look over here?
No, this is legislation that's now being tabled to be, you know, amended and all that kind of jazz in those crazy 10 days. But I can't imagine this won't have bipartisan support.
Right-o.
There may be amendments, and there may be, you know, lawyers who say that it needs to be tighter or looser or whatever it is. But the principle of it is what matters, and I think that we should support it. I don't think it should be an election issue. I think it should be, you know, any party will bring it in. If the Labor Party are smart, they'll say, we support it and just neutralise it as an election issue.
But Trevor Long, this doesn't mean that small businesses still don't need to protect themselves when it comes to social media. What can they do to make sure that they're not liable on any end of this?
Right now, the most important thing you can be doing is monitoring what's happening on your platform. So, you know, I'm not a lawyer, but I think the reasonable, answer or excuse is, you know, you're checking it as regularly as you can, and you're trying to avoid any conflicts or any concerns in the community of your business. That's the best you can do right now, is just be mindful that what other people say on your platforms is your responsibility right now.
So this is not just online bullying, like someone on our Facebook goes, oh, Margot's fat and ugly. This is about defamatory stuff.
This is about breaching the law. You know, online bullying is a whole other issue. But hopefully, because people online will need to provide some identification for their account, they'll feel a little less likely to do that, because at some point, if they push it too far, if they step even slightly over the line, they can be called on that, and I think that's a big deal.
Will it only be for new accounts, or will you be able to backtrack and say, well, I need you to be identified if you want to use my platform?
This will be any active account. Doesn't matter when you created it 10 years ago or not. So, yeah, bring it on, I say.
All right, whole new world. Thanks for explaining it. Trevor Long,
no
everything
worries.
For the man, EFTM.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Oh, looks like the party might be over for one of our favourites, Margo, the hectic cheese, Brandon Smith.
What has he been up to, Marto? Well, I've seen he's been everywhere lately.
Well, he has been. He's been marching himself up and down the eastern seaboard. He went to the Cowboys. He went to the Titans. He went to the Dolphins. Remember that day he went to the Dolphins and said, no, wasn't he for a meeting?
How'd the meeting go, Brendan?
Yeah, I was just in there playing the pokies. I wasn't doing no meeting.
And that was part of the cheeky delight of who Brandon Smith is.
Yeah, is this all a bit of a money grab? He's trying to see which club's going to pay the most amount of money for him. Is this what's happening?
Yeah, and this is partly the manager's fault. You should be doing it a bit more discreetly. And then, of course, on the weekend, he went to the Roosters, or last Thursday, played golf with a couple of their former players and Jared Weir-Hargraves as well. Went to lunch with Big Joey Manu, who's just re-signed with the Roosters. Mm. And the Storm aren't happy.
I couldn't imagine they would be.
He's got another year to go. So he's definitely be playing. Oh, sorry. He may not be definitely playing because a couple of texts I've received overnight and this morning. They're not happy. And they're not happy with a few things. Was he in that room, do I recall correctly, with Cameron Munster when he got in his trouble?
Yeah.
So there's that, and they let that go and went, oh, it's only the hectic
bit
chief.
Of a fine.
It'll be fine.
Moved on from
he
it.
He may have gone too far this time. Because quite simply, if you don't know, the Storm would have released him last night, from what I'm told, straight away would have said, don't even come back to Melbourne, mate. We don't even want to see you again. Except they've got two players in a bit of trouble. The big fella, that Kamakamitha, the one who played for... he's in trouble with the police from the weekend, assaulted some woman.
Oops,
all right, so he's in trouble. And Big Nelson, the giant, Asofa Solomona, he's not getting the jab. So they might be two forwards down.
So they might need Brandon Smith.
But if I know Melbourne, they'll go, bugger it. We'll find somebody.
Else.
Let's get rid of this. Well, they've got had enough of him because he went on a podcast, and podcasts can get you into trouble. But this is this mob. Remember we talked... He took up an ambassador. Memorial. You tell me what it means.
Clothing brand.
YKTR. What does that mean?
You know the rules.
Right. So he went on their podcast and he's an ambassador getting paid in crypto currency. So he said, yeah, pay me in Bitcoin, whatever it is. Don't give me, I'll be an ambassador, but pay me in this. So which was the classic cheese, I thought at the time. Went on a podcast yesterday because that's what you do if you're an ambassador. He used the F word 61 times and used the C word 3 times.
Oh, my God.
Can I just check that's not right, is
no,
it?
No, you can't do that.
Well,
so he won't
that
be called in to replace Margo next time she has a day off? Is that what we're saying? Storm bosses are absolutely filthy because that's where he actually said, I looked up on the wall when I was at the Roosters and looked at their jersey and I had a tear as I went, that's who I want to win a premiership with. Yeah, imagine.
Hello.
He's supposed to be back at training
what
next
about the
Tuesday.
Club that you're contracted to. How about you win a premiership for them?
Thank you. Hectic Cheese has gone from, and this is what happens with part-time comedians like the Cheese.
They think they're funny.
You're
not funny, mate.
You're being a dickhead, mate.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Talking about your travels on a low-cost airline, and that can wait because I think I witnessed last night on the news the ultimate low-cost airline.
A stowaway has survived a flight from Guatemala to Miami hidden in the landing gear of an American Airlines aircraft. Officials are trying to work out how the 26-year-old managed to evade security.
Wow. How far is that, Marta? Guatemala
to
Miami?
It's 2 hours.
Oh, is that it? Yeah,
well, that's a couple of fast days.
Sydney to Brisbane is counted as 2 hours, isn't it? Hour and a half. So it's probably...
Melbourne.
Brisbane to Cairns, probably. So, yeah, a fair bloody way.
Mm.
And he wasn't real well.
Unsteady on his feet and frostbite on his fingers. The 26-year-old stowaway, miraculously alive, after hiding in the Boeing 737's wheel shaft for the 2.5-hour journey from Guatemala City.
He's pulled it off. Do you remember that Kabul when they were all trying to get out of Afghanistan and
terrible.
They fell off and everything
clinging
else?
Clinging for dear life.
Somehow this that it's true desperation. If you're going to do that, you are keen to get out of somewhere. The stats aren't great.
American Airlines Flight 1182 climbed to 42,000 feet, the man enduring beyond freezing temperatures and extremely low oxygen levels.
How high did we reckon Everest was? 28,000 feet.
Is Guatemala known for being cold? I can't imagine he would have got on the Aldi ski sale before he decided to fly.
I think he just had, I saw him on the, he just had a light pair of shorts, pants on.
He was headed to Miami. He was dressed.
That's right, I'm ready. What do you mean they go up really? I didn't know the plane goes up really high. Who knows that it's cold up there?
What happens at 42,000 feet?
Because when I'm in 42,000 feet inside, it's lovely.
In the comfort of an aircraft.
What do you mean there's no air con down there?
In the cabin, pressurised and everything.
And of course...
It's unclear how he managed to avoid being crushed by the wheels once they retracted upon takeoff.
All right, that's exactly right. Imagine that.
Yeah.
So... the thing is, what I want to say about this bloke is, if he's that keen to come to your country, they're talking about sending him home.
Let him in.
He's hungry.
Let him in.
What do you want when you hire a carpenter or a brickie? You want someone who's hungry. You don't want someone who's self-satisfied and sits upstairs in the
air. He's going to turn up, isn't he?
If his fingers don't fall off, he's going to be a tremendous addition. And the thing is, he won't take up a lot of room. If he can fit inside that landing gear. Now, of course, hello, the fun police.
Swarmed by police and airport security, he was given treatment on the tarmac before being taken into custody by U.S. Customs and Border Protection and sent to hospital for evaluation.
Hold on, he's just set some sort of world record.
They should give him a bravery. Like, he should be just clapped in.
Yeah. A red carpet.
Give him the tunnel. Everybody arms up. Give him the tunnel. He can just walk through.
I'll tell you what, the stats are against you. Have a listen to this stat and go, this is for everyone who's listening and going, shit, that's a cheap way to get to Cairns. No, it's not a cheap way to get to Cairns. Here's your chances of survival.
According to the Federal Aviation Authority, 129 people previously attempted to stow away in commercial aircraft since 1947, 100 of them dying from their injuries.
Ooh. So it's not a safe travel method, okay? Just thought I'd tell everyone.
29 survived.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, Jesus.
It's 1947.
Take 6 of Triple M.
Margo, I had a funny one last Friday night. Kath and I went over to Morton. It's the only house we own.
Beautiful.
Little village. You've stayed there at Bulwo. There's a little village of 20 permanent residents maybe. And on weekends, there's a lot of people go over there and rent houses and stuff. So we're sitting there with a mate of ours watched Yellowstone.
We had
a few drinks, had dinner, had a few drinks. We're going, let's watch Yellowstone. No footy on Friday night. So we turn our thoughts to entertainment, having a great old time. We'd had a couple of drinks. I'd have mentioned that, hadn't I?
Yes.
And all of a sudden there's some torches and it's very dark over there. There's there's no streetlights or anything. It's just pitch black.
Well, last weekend you said that there was 4 schoolies people over there.
Yes.
Wasn't there?
We were worse behaved than them. So this weekend these people coming into the yard and I said, what's going on? Oi, what's going on? And I went out and did the cursory, oi, oi, oi. And usually it's trouble, but usually it's friend-based trouble, people who are looking to have another drink. So they rolled up and I said, can I help you? And they said, we've lost Mum. And I said, geez, right, all right. You switch on all of a sudden. What's happened? Oh, Mum's gone missing. And we go,
I'm going to assume Mum is an elderly lady.
Well, we didn't know much at this stage.
Okay.
It ended up Mum wasn't all that old, but they were 17. There was 3 of them. There's 2 girls and a guy. They were 17. I've grabbed a torch and gone, well, hold on, where did you last see her? Well, she was on the deck. And we said, yeah. And they said, oh, Mum was drunk. And I went, oh, here we go. Yeah. Right,
she's
gone
wandering off.
Mum might have wandered off and it's really dark without a torch. Yeah. Maybe had a wee and fallen over in the bush. All right. So I said, I'm going to need the good torch. So I got the high beam tactical response torch.
Oh, my goodness.
And going, right, oh, kids, I'll help you. And Kath came, now, what's going on? Oh, Mum's missing. And then the other guy comes, well, what's
it's
happened
like a search
here?
Party.
We got 6 of us looking. So we looked for about 15 minutes. We're in the bush and looking everywhere. Where did you last see her? Well, she walked out there. Then we get over near where they were staying at the house and the father's going, don't worry, this happens all the time. She's always going missing.
She just goes MIA, old mum.
Yes, apparently.
A few wines.
Because he was embarrassed. He didn't want us looking for his wife anymore. The kid said, no, we've got to find Mum. I said, listen, I'm giving you another 3 minutes. I'm calling
out.
You.
Search.
Netflix is waiting.
Exactly. We had about 30 minutes to go on Yellowstone. So we gave them another 5 minutes and went, oh, well, we're yelling out
so
a name.
So how many are you searching?
There
were
6. Well, Dad couldn't be bothered. He was still sitting down.
Oh, Dad said, didn't get up. Nah, she'll be right.
Happens
she'll
all the time, Margo. Weren't you listening?
She'll come back.
Exactly. I'm going to put this down as dud searches. 133353.
You didn't find her?
Well, no,
not
we
very
did.
Very good search party.
But I see them on the beach the next morning. Oh, did you find Mum? Here she is here. I said, oh, right. Oh, so we met Mum. We said,
where did she go?
She was in bed asleep. Oh. If that's not the greatest dud search.
That's the first place you go to look when someone's missing from drinks.
Thank you. And I never got around to asking, but I figure because it was a strange house to them, maybe they didn't know.
It was an Airbnb or something, was it?
Yeah. What bed Mum was in.
Mum had smoke bombed it. She's like, I'm just going to bed.
Off, and they wasted 15 to 20 minutes of my time on a dud search. 133353. You remember that one we were talking about the other day? There was a search on and the bloke was doing the search and he said, who are we looking for? And they said the name. He said, oh, here I am.
He was in the search party.
That's a dud search.
John from Turinga, 133353. Have you been part of a dud search? Who didn't you find?
Most definitely no. It wasn't a person. It was my father's reading glasses. He lives with my wife and I, and has done forever. And it's marvellous. But he just said, "I can't find my bloody glasses." So we would have spent 45 minutes looking for his bloody glasses. And then all of a sudden, my wife looks up and goes, "They're on your bloody face, you idiot!
On your head or your face? They were on his face."
They were on his face. None of us looked. We're just looking for the glasses, not at him.
Search. Thank you, John.
Cheers.
Done. Search. And that's what happens. Your people can just get involved in it and overlook the easiest thing.
I misplaced a few things when I was pregnant. You know, the old baby brain, a bit foggy, and the keys in the freezer. That's happened a few
Done
times.
Search.
You know, in the pantry, just missing things. Done Amy search. From Wavell Heights. Good morning.
Good morning. So I haven't been a part of the Dud search, but I've been the reason for it.
Oh, really? What happened to you, Amy?
Well, we went out to a party that was out of town, and I'd had a few drinks and I'd had enough. And I was like, well, I'm too drunk to drive home, but I don't want to be a part of it anymore. So I got into the boot of my car, covered myself with the clothes so then I could go to sleep and no one would annoy me. But they were searching for me for hours because they had no idea where I was.
Did you close the boot?
Yeah, of course I did. I was like, this is genius. So they will never find me.
How did they eventually find you, Amy? How long had they been looking for?
They've been searching for about an hour, and then they're like, oh, we should probably check to see if she's driven home. Mm. And that's when they saw the state of the boot, and they could see my hair sticking out the top of the clothes.
Oh my God.
Incredible. Just to escape a party that you weren't having much fun at.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, Amy, how about I invite you to a party that you're probably going to have lots of fun at? Margaritas? Do you want to come along?
Yes, I most definitely do. That sounds fantastic.
All right, and if you go missing, I'll make sure I search your
boot.
Don't
drive.
I won't bring the car, I promise.
Yeah, leave it at home.
Looking
Catch
for a car
Uber.
In the valley. Hey, Chigga, Brisbane's hottest new bar, dining and party venue in Fortitude Valley. That's this Thursday, all right? Put your party shoes on, Amy. Thanks for your calls.
The Big Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
On Triple M.
Mato, it's nearly that time of year again. Australia Day Christmas. Is just around the corner. No, look a little further past it because, I mean, more recently we had the controversial topic of daylight savings. Should we have it here in Queensland or not? And again, the lyrics to our national anthem has reared its head. The push for change, they calling it, Mato. Recognition in Anthem, which is the not-for-profit group who, of course, had just recently, the anthem lyrics changed. Verse one was changed from "For we are young and free" to "We are one and free." Because, of course, we're not young. Our Indigenous people of the land have been here for a very long time. And, of course, yes, it is appropriate that we recognise them and change those words. Mm. At the moment, we're not really one and free, are we? It's more about division again. Mm. Vaxxers versus the anti-vaxxers. And restrictions and guidelines, we're not free. But that's not what I want to talk about because that's been changed. Yes. They now want to add a second and a third verse. Of course, we already have the second verse.
Yes.
Nobody knows what it is.
No idea.
No idea what the words were. I was always very grateful for the school putting up the OHS with the words on it. They used to put that little slip of clear sheet with all the words on it.
OHP it is again.
OHP, whatever.
Yeah.
That thing. And I was always very grateful because it had the words there. No one knew them.
Yeah.
But now they want to add a whole two
a
new
third
verses.
One.
A second one that is all about... the change and better representation of Australia's Indigenous history and our people.
Okay.
And then the third one, for our values. There's lots of words there, none of which, again, anyone is going to remember. But very lovely that they want to change it, and I'm all for it. I vote for it, yes, whatever it is that you need to do. Let's change it and let's be more inclusive, but let's just remember.
What?
Nobody ever remembers the second and third verse. So how about we just make the first one a good one and be done with it?
What about our old national anthem was "God Save the Queen"? So when she dies, that means God's not true. Is that correct?
Oh, I don't know. It's all very confusing.
There's a lot of questions.
Just keep one verse.
Deep, man.
Really nice and
really
clean
deep.
And simple. That's all we need. One good one.
Well, we haven't got any.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Mato and Margo.
Our favourite callers could get a Christmas ham from Rodie Meats today. Rodie Meats, family-owned, award-winning butcher based in Stafford Heights. They're unbelievable. Just at random, handing out hams, 133353.
Could be someone ringing shortly about the oldest age gap between children in the same family.
So what do you mean?
I'm talking about same father, same mother. Oh, the weekend we spent with a friend of Cass, she'd be in her early 40s. And you know, you were saying a few months ago, God, you'd love a little baby. I saw three little babies under one on the weekend.
So cute.
They were so cute. I forget how light they are.
Yeah.
I go, you wish they stayed at that age all their life.
Jagger only just last week, Marto, asked us to have another baby.
He said, my God.
Can we have another baby? And I was like, yes.
What would that be? River's five.
Five or six years.
Don't talk poorly about your husband's vasectomy.
He said, I'm not allowed anymore.
Well, Carl reversed his, so, you know, tell Corey you're not even trying, mate.
Yeah.
Well, what I saw was, so she had the little baby, this mate of Cass, okay?
Yeah.
But her other two kids were there.
Oh, how old?
16 and 17.
Wow.
That's
quite a difference. That's a big 15 years.
Yeah.
How does that happen? There's no divorce or anything, because that may be, I want to know, and I never did ask them, but I know he does a lot of FIFO work, so he's away, back, yeah. away, maybe, but that's a long time, and I didn't have the guts. Maybe I should have asked Kath, why 15 years, no children, and all of a sudden, bang.
Well, I think in your late, what is she, late 40s, early 40s, mid 40s?
No, she'd be early to mid 40s.
I mean, women are, you know, it's jammed down our throats so often. Oh, the clock is ticking, the time, you know, the womb clock is ticking. Yeah. Once you hit a certain age, you can't have babies anymore, it's much more difficult. So I think women subside themselves to the fact that I'm in my 40s, I can't get pregnant again.
So they're
just a bit footloose and fancy. Right,
what have I got? 16, so let's say 16 to 1. I have 15-year age gap. I'm claiming that. No one can beat it.
Slip past the wicketkeeper.
You want to take some calls?
Yeah, 133353. There's a ham on offer if someone can beat this.
So age gap, but it's got to be the same parents.
Same mother and father, okay. 15 years.
There's a boy in Memphis is great at school, so they're, say, 11.
Are you going to beat it straight away? Are you looking for the ham?
His older sister, I think, would be mid-20s.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's got
an older, and then an older brother as well. Oh, he's 11, so there's 15 years 11. In that or
nah,
something.
Still got you covered. That's 14 years.
Marto, sorry to
hello,
bump
Mitch.
In.
Hello,
guys.
Hello, Mitch in the morning.
19 years in my family. I'm the oldest. Youngest, 18 and 19. Both mistakes, but...
All right, hold on.
19 years, same
I think
parents.
It's accident.
So it's just the three of you in total?
No, the six of us.
Oh, hold on,
no. Second last to last child, what's the gap?
A year between those two?
Oh, no, yeah, that's, see, that doesn't count, nothing. Mitch.
All right, Mitch.
It means that you've gone on to have all your children and you think you're done, you're and done. There's five of you.
Sorry.
And 18 years later, one slips
you,
in.
As you were.
Right. Thank
you, Mitch. Bloody hell. Hey, Mitch, I'm going to hang on to this ham, but nice try. 133353. So
15
the biggest,
years
biggest age
is,
gap.
Okay. Is the benchmark. Okay.
So you want the last two siblings.
Yeah, the
age,
second
the
last.
The biggest age gap between the last two. Not the last and the
just
first,
call
Mitch.
Us.
Go and see Mitch and tell him that again.
Rob from Warner, have you got an age gap in your family?
Yeah. My sister's 21 when I was born, and my brother was 19. My other brother was 15. My other brother was 13. And the other one was 1.
All right. Well,
okay,
that's
so
a 12-year 12
age gap between the last sibling and then the newborn. Is that right, Rob? Which one were you?
No. 21 years was the biggest gap.
No, yeah, from the top to the bottom.
Second,
we're
mark.
Talking about the last sibling to then the next one.
Okay, people aren't clear
be
on this.
Be specific, Marto.
Second last to last child. I have been specific.
So we don't want the first sibling to the last sibling.
No,
we want the second last sibling, right. So the third sibling to the fourth sibling.
No, don't say third and fourth.
Well,
second
could be second
last
and third.
Last.
Could be fifth and sixth. Yeah. The difference between those two.
That would be the second last.
So it was like, we're all
last.
Done. We're finished. We've had our children. Oh, and 16 years later, there's a surprise.
From Shayla Park, do I need to send you
Hello.
A whiteboard with all that on it, or do you understand second last to last?
No, I get it.
Okay, what happened?
I get it. It's actually not me. It's one of my girlfriends, and her other child is 19, and she's just had a baby. She's 45, and Abby is now 3.5 months old. But I'm just sitting here thinking, my dad was actually 24 when his brother was born. So
same parents on that one?
Yeah, my grandparents, he was the second youngest.
Was that the war? Like Margot said, why didn't you ask them what happened? Well, nothing happened, obviously, for a long time.
Well, nothing happened in that one, but, my girlfriend just all of a sudden hello, here
just
we are.
Just surprise, Caroline.
Was
she at an age where she didn't think babies were in her future anymore?
Absolutely. She's 45.
Yeah.
So she was like, okay.
Did the husband question it and go, what's going on?
Definitely not.
No.
Did they start drinking? Did they start drinking again or what?
I think it's COVID.
Oh, no. Yeah, Lord. Maybe. Yes.
Nothing better to do. Colin from Caboolture.
Yeah, g'day, Colin. Yeah, how you going?
Colin,
yeah.
Do you understand the concept of what Marto
is? Don't explain.
Okay, tell us what happened.
I've got 22 years between myself and my oldest brother.
Now, just to check, there's no other siblings in between you and that brother?
Yeah, well, there is. I'm a family of 10, unfortunately.
Hold on.
No, can we...
So what's the
age
gap?
I've got nephew and nieces older than me.
Are you the youngest, Colin?
I am.
Okay,
yes,
and then
the
how many years between you and the next sibling above you?
Just above me, yeah, 7.
7. Oh, well, that's still a decent gap. What happened in those 7 years where Mum and Dad decided they wanted to have another one?
No idea.
Just okay, happened.
Dad was always working, and Mum was by herself, so I don't know.
Okay. Thanks, Colt. That's the thing with live radio. Sometimes it doesn't turn out the way I thought, because I think we agreed Caroline had the story that's the winner,
yes,
correct?
Yes, of course, because there was 18 Caroline? Years between her 19-year-old daughter and...
Hello, yes, I am here.
The thank God one. There was one person in the whole of Brisbane understood
adults, adults in the room.
Can we give her something?
Caroline, obviously, you're going to get the Christmas ham from Roadie Meats. Well done.
Awesome, thank you.
Marto, there's a lot of examples here. Like Ross he called in, he said his grandfather had 16 siblings. Obviously there was a big age gap between the first and the bottom. Then Darren from Narangba, his sister has 4 children, the oldest is 24, the youngest is 3. So there was a lot of, oldest and the youngest, because there was lots of siblings. And so we couldn't get to everybody. Mark from Victoria Point said there was 20 years between his mum and sister, but there were siblings in between too.
I do like when the auntie and uncle are younger than their niece and nephew. That's funny, but that's not what I asked for. Caroline's the winner.
Kelly from Burpengary has 3 girls, 21 years between the youngest and the oldest.
This is Triple M's for Big Breakfast.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.